We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. We have been going through the Gospel of Mark for a few months now. We know how action-packed the book of Mark is. If you are a Hollywood filmmaker or if you're going to make a film about the gospel, use the book of Mark because it's full of action. It's boom, 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 boom. You know, it's an amazing book. Asiku, that's smiling. So maybe he's writing something, you know, within the book of Mark. So today I'll be going through Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, I'll be reading from verses 41 to 40. From verses 41 to 44. So Mark chapter 12, from verses 41 to 44. I'm using the NIV version. Mark chapter 12, from verses 41 to 44. The word of God says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." All she had to live on. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. If you're writing notes today, I am talking to us, or I'd like to talk to us through the subject, the widow's offering. The widow's offering. I know at Sheffield Community Church, we're very generous. We like to give, but trust me, I'm not taking an offering today. You know, we're not taking any offering. So, but if you're going to give, may the Lord bless you. I know how generous we are, but I'm not taking an offering. We're not taking an offering this morning. We just want to sit down and look at this widow's offering. Now, as I said, in Mark chapter 12, it is such an action-packed book. It's so fast. By fast, I mean fast. Now, this chapter 12, it's set in the middle of the week, basically the last week before Jesus' death, right? So just before the Passover. So the middle of the last week of Jesus' last few days here on earth before he was crucified. So within the middle of the Passover. So Jesus enters the temple, as he did every single day. He went into the temple and began to preach. And, he was, surprise, surprise, he was shortly approached or confronted by the religious sects. So different religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, he was quickly confronted by them. Now, Jesus being Jesus, this chapter 12 opens up Mark opens chapter 12 when Jesus is talking about the parable of the tenants. Right, the parable of the tenants. And this parable was directly aimed at these religious leaders. And they hated Jesus, they hated his guts. They absolutely hated him for it. And by so doing, guess what? They wanted to now trap him. So they sent a few minions to ask him questions. Questions like, "Oh Lord, we know that you fear no man. You don't really mind about who thinks or people's status and so on and so on. So tell us, Lord, is it fair to pay taxes to Caesar?" Jesus is like, "Okay, you know what? You want to trap me? Okay, guess what? Give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's." Wow. Yes. So, now, and then it goes on to from verse 38, Jesus, he harshly rebukes the teachers of the law. He harshly rebukes them where he says, "Watch out for the teachers of the law, for they you know, they take pride in wearing long robes. You know, they take pride, you know, because they like to be greeted in the marketplace. They take a lot of pride, you know, they love to take, you know, important seats in the synagogue. Watch out for these guys, for they even devour the widows' houses. Watch out for these guys, for they like to make lengthy prayers just for show. Wow. Now, if they really hated his guts after this, they really, really hated him. Now, today, church, I want to briefly sit on four chapters, the last four chapters. After Jesus said this, it goes on to these last four chapters, from verse 41, where we encounter this widow. Here is Jesus, the Bible says, sitting down opposite to where the offering basket was. He just said, opposite the offering basket. He sat down and he observed. He watched. He watched as people came, as people lined up. Bearing in mind, this was just before the Passover. So people traveled from everywhere. Some traveled for weeks, some traveled for days. They traveled from everywhere to give an offering and to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem. And Jesus sat opposite the offering basket. And he watched as people gave an offering from their many, many, many wealths. He watched. He watched as they came and gave. Now, during those times, paper money wasn't a thing. Paper money wasn't available. They traded in coins. Some coins were big, some coins were small, some coins were more valuable than others. Now, to make things a lot more interesting, right, these offering baskets, and no, I think I have a side of it. Now, this offering basket was, there we go, thank you. It was shaped like a trumpet at the very top, right? It was shaped like a very, you know, like a trumpet at the very top. So as people came with the many offerings, as they poured it into the offering box, guess what happened? It made a lot of noise. It made a lot of noise as they poured the offering. So basically, you know, the bigger your coins, the more noise you got. You know, today we call it, you know, a following on Twitter. Or Instagram, you know. So the bigger your bucks, the more following you got. It made a lot of noise. So basically, giving became a showbiz, became a show. And Jesus sat and he observed as these guys were giving. He just sat there. There were 13 of those things for different purposes. He just sat there as they gave. As they gave, he sat down opposite, watched. As he watched, there came Isaac with his many coins. There came Isaac with his many coins. And he started. Thank you, media team. And he poured. He poured. He poured. And Jesus watched. And there came Caiaphas with his many coins. And he poured. He poured. At this point, eyes were turned because these coins were many and big. So they make loud sound. And they poured. They poured. Everyone will watch. They were like, oh, wow. Can you see what Caiaphas is doing? Wow, he's rich. So this, thank you, media team. Now this went on and on and on and on. And Jesus watched. Then came the widow. Then came this widow with but nothing than 2 cents. 2 coins in her hands. Church, I would like to think as this widow approached this offering basket, the atmosphere shifted. It shifted. The atmosphere shifted. Whereas before her, there were people with big bucks. There were, you know, Isaacs and Caiaphas and Johns and Obadiahs and Ozias. They were all pouring all money. And then there comes a simple widow where she had nothing but 2 cents. I'd like to think the atmosphere shifted. It changed. Everyone looked away because what she carried in her hand was seen as insignificant. There was nothing to show. No, there was no show with her. What she carried in her hand was seen as insignificant. And there she came. Now, to make this into context is that at the time when this book was written, at the time, see, your relationship with God or your status or your position with God was determined by how much you had in your bank account. It was determined by how much, you know, designer clothes that you wore. It was determined by that, right? There was a preaching that was going around that if you don't have much, you are cursed. So a perfect example of being cursed was this widow. Of course, she did not have much. She was a perfect example of being cursed. And as she came, I bet you people will whisper, "Lord, there she is, this cursed widow." Not only is she poor, but she's a widow. How cursed can you be? Why are your children? You have no glory. You have no pride. What do you have? Nothing. Everybody looked away. Church, in a situation that causes everyone to look away, guess what? Jesus is the only one who looks. A situation that causes the whole world to turn away from you, or the situation that causes people to stop taking your calls, guess what? People turn away. But Jesus, he looks. If it wasn't for Jesus looking, if it wasn't for Jesus taking and noticing this woman, I kid you not, her act would have gone unnoticed. And we would never have been preaching about this. But it took Jesus to take time and notice her and say something and call his disciples and be like, "Come here, watch this woman. What she has done is more than what everyone else has given." So, what can we learn from this woman? What significant lessons can we learn from what seems to be an insignificant person or an insignificant act? What significant lessons can we learn from this widow? Number one, she gave sacrificially. This poor widow gave sacrificially. The Bible said from verse 41, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offering were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amount, but a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins worth a few cents. Worth a few cents. Now, these copper coins, they were known as, you know, as the lepta in Jewish. They're known as the lepta. Basically, a lepta is the lowest of coins that you can have. It's the lowest of coins that you can have. Now, in terms of its value, to put it into today's context, those 2 coins were a fraction of a penny. Yeah. Those 2 coins were a fraction of a penny. They were very, very light. They did not have much value. But guess what? To this widow, this was everything she had. This was her life's savings. Everything she had. Those 2 lepta coins. This was everything she had. These coins represented her very life, her life savings. See, many of us today are still struggling to give our 10%. Now, never mind giving everything you have. Wow. She gave sacrificially. See, it really hit me that Jesus doesn't actually comment on how much she gave, but rather he commented on how she gave. She gave her everything. She gave her very self. What are you giving to God this morning? What are you giving to God? See, in God's sight, giving everything isn't measured by the amount, but by the sacrifice. I'll say that again. In heaven, giving everything is not measured by the amount you give. No, it measures by the sacrifice you make. All right, let's put it into context. Elon Musk, the famous guy, Tesla guy, Elon Musk. Probably, the richest man right now. Well, he's worth, they say, $219 billion, his net worth, right? See, 10,000 pounds to Elon Musk is worth pocket change. It's worth $219 billion. 10,000 pounds to him is pocket change. But 10 pounds to a widow who is struggling to make ends meet, how many of us know that that is everything to her? That is everything to her. So giving everything in heaven isn't measured by the amount, by the sacrifice. To one gives out of his abundance, but the other gives out of a little. That little is her everything. This woman's little was her everything. That was everything. Wow. Wow. It hit me that this woman's act of giving, it wasn't an act of financial giving, but it was an act of her giving everything to God, an act of her relying upon God sacrificially. David says in Psalms, in 2 Samuel 24:24, he says, I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God anything that has not cost me. He said, I will not give a burnt sacrifice to the Lord my God I will not sacrifice a burnt offering to my God that has not cost me anything. What has your offering cost you? What are you giving to God? What has it actually cost you, church? I'm reminded of Abraham after waiting for 25 years for a promise. He waited for 25 years for his son. Eventually, when his son came, Abraham was so faithful to his God. He took this very son who he waited for 25 years. He put him on his shoulders. He goes up to Mount Moriah. And Abraham offered his very son on the sacrifice. He laid him down on the altar to offer it to God as a sacrifice. The son, his offspring, his heir, the son that he waited for 25 years, he put him on an altar as an offering to his God. Abraham lifted up the knife about to sacrifice his son. God stepped in and said, Abraham, stop. Stop, for I know now that you fear God. For you are not afraid even to sacrifice your very best. Abraham, stop. There's the ram, sacrifice the lamb. But now I know your heart. Amen. Scholars say that same mountain where Abraham was about to offer his very own son, his very best, that God offered, his very best as a sacrifice for you and me. Amen. Wow. What are you offering to God? What has your sacrifice cost you? Is it costing you? She gave out of the little that she had. It cost her everything. What is it costing you, church? What is it costing you? Number two, the second thing we can learn from this amazing act is that this woman, she gave everything. She gave everything. Everything she had, she gave. Verse 42, the Bible says, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. She has put more into the treasury than all the others. See, I would like to think that this woman, she was so poor that she was exempt from giving an offering. I would like to think that she had nothing to give, that she was exempt from giving an offering. But there she was, giving. There she was, giving. She didn't have to be in that place, but she chose to be in that place. I don't know about you, but for me, see, sometimes, I wake up on Sunday morning, I'm like, oh my days, I'm so tired. Do I really have to go to church? I do go every Sunday after all. Do I really have to go to church? Oh, you're all quiet. Maybe just me. I need salvation. I'm working on my salvation. Maybe you've obtained yours. But sometimes I wake up in the morning, I'm like, oh my days, Lord, I'm so tired. Do I really have to go? Or sometimes, end of the month, I look at my bills and my income, I'm like, oh my days, do I really have to tithe? Lord, help me. She didn't have to do it, but she did it. Church, how many of us know that when you are in the widow situation, it's very easy to make excuses? Yeah? it's very easy to justify your actions. It's very easy to say, be like, do you know what? I don't have much. Do you know what? They don't need what I have anyways. You know, they really don't need it. You know? How many of us know that when you're in the widow situation, you know, subtraction maths becomes very easy because all she had was 2 coins. How many of us know that it's very easy to subtract 2? Like, say, you know what? I'll give 1 and I'll keep the other just in case the Lord doesn't come through. It's very easy to subtract. It's very easy to justify our situations when we're in the widow's situation. And no one would have blamed her. But guess what? She went beyond and she gave everything she had. She gave absolutely everything. What is God asking you to give? What is God asking you to give? What are you still holding on to this morning, church? I'm reminded of Jack. Jack was jogging in the morning, doing his jogging near the cliff. And Jack, unfortunately, got too close to the cliff. And he slipped and he fell. He was failing, trying to grapple everything. Suddenly, he grabbed onto the branch. And he looked down and he's like, oh my days, I'm done. He held onto the branch. That was his lifeline. If he let go, he knows that it was done for him. So he kept holding to his branch. And Jack was screaming, hello, is there anybody there? Hello, somebody help me, I'm falling. Hello, can anyone hear me? Suddenly, a voice spoke back. Hi, I can hear you. Are you okay? No, I'm not okay. Please help me. And the voice said, oh, Jack, that's fine. I'll help you. He's like, how do you know my name? He's like, Jack, I am the Lord. Jack is like, what do you mean you are the Lord? Isn't like the Lord God? God says, yes, I am that I am. He's like, oh, God, thank you so much, God. Please help me. I promise I'll do anything. I promise if you help me out of this, my life will change. I will do anything that you tell me to do. I promise, just get me out of this. I will go to church every Sunday. I'll give everything I have to do. God, please tell me what I have to do. Please, God, just say it. Say anything, I'll do it. God says, hold on there, Jack, with the promises. First, let's get you out of that situation. Yes, please, God. Okay, tell me, what do I have to do? I'll do anything, God. Okay, Jack, let go. Jack is like, what? Jack, I am the Lord, your God. Let go. Hello, is anyone else out there? What are you holding on to this morning? When the Lord God asks you to let go, guess what? Let it go. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, let it go. What are you holding on to this morning? You may be sitting there, still holding tight onto your lifeline. You may be sitting there, still holding tight onto your last 2 coins, holding on tight onto your branch. What is your branch? What are you still holding on to? Because when the Lord says, let it go, let it go. Whatever it is that you're holding on to, let it go. Today, I can stand here and preach about this widow's act because she was obedient. She let it go. Whatever you're holding on to, whatever you think is your lifeline, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. The third and final thing, little lesson we can learn from this widow, from this widow's act, is that she gave in faith. She gave in faith, church. Wow. She gave in faith. Verse 43 says, calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. She gave in faith. She left herself in a very vulnerable position. I'll say that again. She left herself in a very vulnerable position. She gave everything. There was no other means. She had nothing else. See, it's one thing being in her situation accidentally than purposely or faithfully putting herself in the situation that she put herself in. You know, it's one thing, you know, finding yourself with nothing, like, oh my days, I really don't have nothing, and there's nothing to be done. Purposely taking your last two coins and putting it away, giving it to God, and trusting that God will come through. It's a different thing. She gave in faith. She became vulnerable. She no longer had control. You know, she decided, as good as she was with subtraction math, she decided not to subtract, but she decided to give everything to God. It really hit me whilst I was meditating on this. It really hit me that this widow really suffered dearly. It hit me that she suffered dearly, this widow. See, she actually wasn't in a position to trust. I don't think she was in a position to have much faith. Just a few chapters from verse 38, just a few chapters above where we're going for today. I mentioned that Jesus harshly rebuked the teachers of the law. He rebuked them for wearing long robes and wanting to be greeted in the marketplace, for making lengthy prayers, and for taking most important seats in the synagogue. He rebuked them for all those things, but he also rebuked the teachers of the law for taking widows' houses. For taking widows' houses. See, these teachers of the law, they were experts in the law. They were lawyers. They were lawyers. So when a woman would lose her husband, right, she would inherit her husband's estate, right? Now, the teachers of the law's job was to help secure, or was to help the widow secure the estate that she has inherited from her husband. But what they started doing was they started to pervert the law. They started to bring in, you know, different charges. You know different charges. You know about different charges. VATs. Yeah, who knows about VATs? Yeah, different charges, different taxes, you know. Zero emission taxes. I got a letter, so I'm not happy about that. Right? Consultancy fees. Such and such fee. This and this fee. This and that. Da, 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 da. They started bringing all this trickery stuff that at the end, the widow will not be able to pay. And when she's no longer able to pay, guess what they do? They take her estate. I would like to think that this widow was disappointed majorly by the world. She was disappointed by the very people that were meant to protect her. So she wasn't really in a position to trust. But guess what? She trusted anyways. She made a conscious decision to trust. She was by herself, no husband, no children around. She was poor. If there was anyone, you know, that had a valid reason not to be at church on Sunday morning, it was this widow. If there's anyone that had a valid reason not to give anything ever again to God, it was this woman, because she suffered dearly. She was disappointed, but she made a conscious decision to give. She gave in faith. You may be sitting there this morning, disappointed by the injustice of the world. You may be sitting there this morning, feeling that everything that was coming your way has been ripped away from you. You may be sitting there this morning, you know, that you feel that, you have lost very important stuff or important things or important people in your life, or things were just not been going well because of the injustice of this world. I'm here to encourage you this morning that whatever it is that you have left in your hands, God still wants to use it. Amen. We heard this morning in prayer, when I was preparing for this message, I knew that there was something I was missing, but we heard it in prayer today. God wants to make an exchange with you. He wants to make that exchange with you. Those two coins that you still have in your hand, God has a plan for it. Heaven has a purpose for it. She gave in faith. By faith, she believed that, you know, God was her Jehovah Jireh. By faith, she believed that God will provide for her. By faith, she believed that God knew everything she needed even before she had asked. By faith, she gave. God wants to use your coins. That which you still have in your hand, as insignificant it may seem to others, it is very much significant for heaven. She had no idea. She had no idea that Jesus, the Messiah, was sitting across the room watching as she gave her very last two coins. She had no idea that over 2,000 years later that we'll be sitting here preaching the gospel about what she did. You and I have no idea what God has planned for the last two coins we have. We have no idea. Whatever that you have left, God wants to use it. By faith, let it go. By faith, release it. By faith, let go of that lifeline that you're holding on to this morning. Let it go. I want to encourage you that it is important. You are significant. As insignificant others may say you are, I'm here to remind you that you are significant. What you have is very much significant. Heaven has a plan for you. No matter how much the world might have disappointed you, no matter how much the world might have hurt you, no matter how much injustice you may have felt or you may be feeling right now, no matter what you're going through, heaven has a plan for you. You are still here. You're still breathing because heaven has a plan for you. Let it go. Let it go. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that you are speaking to us this morning. Father, I thank you that you are speaking to someone this morning. Father, even as we are reminded of the widow's offering, my God, that her two lepta coins, a fraction of a penny, as insignificant as it was, my Lord, to others, as others looked away, God, in a situation where others look away, God, that you looked and you took note, my God. So, Father, whatever it is that we are holding on to, still holding on to, Holy Spirit, help us to let go. Help us to let go, Lord. Father, may we leave this place, my God, knowing that you have a plan for us, that you still have a purpose for our pennies. You have a purpose for our lives, my God. That we are very much still significant to you, God. That you are there watching. You are watching, Lord. You are watching. And Father, we thank you that when the whole world looks away, Lord, you look. Amen. We bless you today, Holy Spirit, for your word. In Jesus' name. I want to pray for someone, whether you are here in this room or watching online. There's someone, you have a pain, either your right leg or your right foot, whether here in this congregation or online. If you're in this congregation, I would like to ask you to stand up. You have a pain in your right leg. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. I want to pray for you. The Holy Spirit wants to heal you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that by your stripes we are healed. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, I command healing upon that leg. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I command healing upon her right leg. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we thank you, God, that you are still in the business of healing. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. And the church say, amen. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.